And this is our number 10.
For the fastest 15 minutes in the news, this is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. Coming up in about 25 minutes, we're going to talk with a young woman here in Seattle who is on a training run for the New York City Marathon that's coming up in about a month. On Friday morning, she's running between Green Lake and Ravenna when a homeless guy jumped out and grabbed her breasts and her crotch and tried to take her down, but she was able to fight him off and scream at the top of her lungs. But she wants to get the word out because likely this same homeless guy sexually, physically assaulted a woman a week earlier. But the word of that one had not gotten out. A Seattle police detective told Maria, who we're going to be talking about, that there had been an attack just a week earlier. And she said if she had known that, she would not have run in that area on Friday morning. So she filed a police report. Seattle police are looking for the guy. But you got to hear her story because there are two things here. One is you fight with everything you have if you're in that situation, kind of like our friend Kelly Heron, who was attacked at Golden Gardens last year and was able to fight off a violent physical assault. And number two, we got to make some serious political changes in this city. Mike O'Brien is the city councilman in the district where Maria, who we're going to be talking to, lives. He has let the homeless drug vagrants take over the streets, as has the entire Seattle City Council. So we will keep sharing these stories in an effort to effect some political change in this crazy city of ours. So let's get to the Fastest 15. So I was gone late last week. I missed Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And I didn't even know if I should go to this.
Well, you should have gone.
Well,
I mean, it was a great honor.
So I didn't know anything about the Marconi Awards.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know how I got nominated.
Oh, I do.
I think Nicole had something to do with it.
Well, me and our program director.
Yeah. And so, a couple months ago, they said, well, you're one of five finalists for what apparently is, along with the Murrow, the most prestigious award in radio.
Mm-hmm.
And Cairo was very gracious. They sent both me and my wife down to Orlando. Yeah. And so we get down there, and I've never won anything in my life in radio. And I don't, my prize? The listeners.
True.
Ratings. Ratings are all I care about. The other stuff, So we get down there, and we took the red eye Tuesday night. So we got in about, 10 a.m. on Wednesday morning. So then we took a little nap, and we thought, well, we're in Orlando. We should probably go to a theme park.
Sure.
So we went to Disney Hollywood Studios. And so we did that on Wednesday evening.
Mm-hmm.
And that was fun. We had a good time there. Then on Thursday, the dinner, it was quite a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
The host was a guy. Oh, what was his name? He had a huge hit song. Matt Nathanson. Can you find Matt Nathanson's? You'll recognize the song. But he was the host of the affair. And then they had like the 2015 American Idol winner.
Oh, wow.
Came and did a little
song. Is your brain?
What's that?
Well, it was going to be the song, but sorry.
So it was a big, beautiful ballroom.
Sure.
I decided to wear my black tie suit.
Mm-hmm.
And earlier on Thursday, my wife and I went and got lunch. And she said, do you care about this thing tonight? And I go, no. I said, it's so subjective. I don't know what the criteria is. And I said, no, I couldn't really care less. Is it? It's in it. It's some bigger.
There's another
hit.
Song?
Yeah, some bigger hit.
Okay, I'm looking.
Anyway, so I said, I really don't care.
Mm-hmm.
So we're sitting at the gala, and the category I was in was, I think, the sixth award of the night. And I didn't realize winners had to give speeches. So the first couple award winners, they get up and they deliver speeches. And now I'm thinking, oh, man, I got to come up with something just in case.
What right. award show have you been to that doesn't?
The
Murrows.
The Murrows. I went to the Murrows back in New York City when we won a couple of those.
You don't get to say anything?
Nope.
Oh.
Nope, you don't get to say anything at the Murrows.
You just do a handshake and a smile.
Yeah, yeah. And so now I'm thinking, oh, man, if in the slim chance that I win, I got to come up with a little speech. So I'm thinking, and the one thing I knew for sure was that I was going to mention my wife, who was there with me, mm-hmm. and Ursula, and Nicole, and Sean, and Andrew. I was going to make sure I mentioned everybody on our show team. And then our program director, Ryan,
sure.
was at the table. I was going to mention him because he was very nice and, you know, helping get me nominated.
And the company that we work for.
And then the president of the company, I'm sitting next to him, and I'd never had a long conversation. And he's just a
super nice guy.
Pleasant a fellow, yeah. as you will ever know. But now, so I'm thinking, well, I'll mention him too. And then I have to say something about, you know, loving the business.
Something profound.
Something profound. And so I came up with something that I was kind of proud of.
Oh, what was that?
My little I don't need to get into it, but I was just going to tell a little quick story.
Yeah. Okay.
About a 30-second story that illustrates how much I love this business and how blessed I am to be able to work in it. But again,
are you like jotting notes on your napkin at this point?
No. I'm
just mental notes. Okay.
Just noodling it over. For this award that I told my wife I couldn't care less if I win or lose.
Oh,
so then they make the announcement, and I lost.
And you seemed to care at
and
that
I was
moment.
So pissed, which shocked me. It just shocked me because I truly meant what I said to my wife and what I told you guys going in, that I really don't care. It's subjective. There's no way they can honestly evaluate our show versus the other four shows around the country that have been nominated.
I tried to tell you, I think both Nicole and I tried to tell you, A, you know, either it's rigged, or B, you know what? You're a winner just by being one of the finalists. But I knew that was not going to be enough.
Yeah. No, I got homered because a guy in Jacksonville won.
Right. So it's a hometown guy that won the award show. And it was just, was you and another Seattle guy with a totally different show than ours.
Right.
Versus three Florida guys.
Show in Miami. And but I really meant that I didn't care. But then anything, this is my curse, you guys. Anything that involves competition, if I don't, in fact, exactly what I said to my wife when she asked me if I cared, I said, no, this isn't like, you know, playing in the state championship basketball game. If I had lost that, I would have carried that around for years because that's something I had some control over. You know, you work for months and you can make strategic adjustments and you have some control. And I said, this is so random and subjective that there's no reason to care about
this. It would be recognition for work that you've done over, you know, 30 years.
Yeah.
It's not. Yeah.
But I truly thought I didn't care.
But a lot of times I will say, oh, I don't really care. It's all good. You know, just to kind of protect myself in the event of.
Yeah. Yes. But I don't think I was doing it as a defense mechanism. I truly believed that I didn't care. But then.
Also, it's a 5-hour flight. You took time off the show and missed a big day of radio.
So then immediately,
angry.
As the guy's up there giving his speech, this overwhelming guilt kicks in.
Oh, no.
Because, you know, Bonneville sends my wife and me down, and they spent all this money on me to, you know, a nice hotel and airfare and to go and lose. They didn't spend money so I could go lose.
So I think they consider you've already won by being nominated.
But I did!
Second. I'm sure.
Yeah, and boy, how awful it was that they all had to fly to Orlando and be in the sun and stay in a nice hotel. That's just a real bummer.
But I feel guilty when I'm not here doing the show. As I'm sitting watching those hearings on Thursday.
With 20 million people doing
I'm thinking, I should be back with our listeners talking about this.
Technically, on Thursday, you wouldn't have got to talk much because we just took it live all day. So there wasn't a lot to say.
I know. I was glad
Friday,
about that,
we missed out.
And so anyway, then I'm filled with this overwhelming guilt that I wasted all of the company's money, that I missed the show, that that I lose to this. And he seemed like a nice fella, the Jacksonville guy. But, and then I start thinking, but I guarantee you there's no way his show's as good as ours. And I've convinced myself of that. So
I kind of want to listen to his.
I don't. Let's not do that. No, we don't.
It's all good.
It's all okay.
I can pick it apart.
Okay. So anyway, that was my little trip. So,
well, welcome back.
Yeah, I'm a loser.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate that. Okay, should we get some news here for crying out loud in the Fastest 15? Okay, next up. So there's been a lot of coverage about how we should. We had those bike shares. And we've got the Lime bikes all over the city. Didn't one of those just go under? One of those bike shares?
Ofo
went under?
Yeah, they went under everywhere. It wasn't making money.
Okay, and so now we get the Lime bikes, which are just littering the streets. But I don't really care because it's a private company. It's not costing the taxpayers anything. It is kind of ridiculous how many of them are just sitting all over. But there's a big story in the Seattle Times that these scooter shares. Have you seen these?
Yes.
So they're
just same concept.
Same concept, but you're riding a scooter.
Yeah. Then you just dump them off on the sidewalk, which is what's when I went to LA recently. I mean, you stumble over them.
I was in San Diego about a month ago, and in the neighborhood we're in I think it's called Pacific Beach, and the sidewalks were just filled with these scooters. And in San Francisco, people were getting injured, tripping on them in these busy neighborhoods. But Jenny Durkin has banned the scooter shares in Seattle. And they're just electric scooters, stand-up scooters, not like moped-type scooter. And they've banned them. And now there's a big question because there are scooter companies that want to come in to Seattle.
Banned scooter shares specifically, not the scooters themselves, because Ron Upshaw just got one and he's riding.
Ron Upshaw got a scooter?
Oh, yeah. He rides it every day to work.
Yep.
With the helmet.
What?
Yes.
Ron Upshaw?
Yes.
Isn't he like over 20?
Yes.
What's he doing riding a scooter?
There are a lot of people of all ages riding him and using him as commuter vehicles.
And personally, I would feel more comfortable, more safe riding a scooter than a bike in the city. Because the scooter, number one, it's a little safer on the sidewalk. You don't have to be in the street. And then
you can't ride him on a sidewalk.
Yes, you can.
In San Diego, people were just zipping down the streets
I think they're supposed to be on the street.
Sidewalk, you're going to kill somebody.
No, you're not. You can jump
kill
off.
Somebody.
It's a quicker stop.
Someone walks out of a doorway and right in the path of one of those scooters,
they're
dead.
Well, even if you are on the street, you can run off of a scooter, you can jump off of a scooter easier than you can get off of a bike. You're going head first if you're on a bike.
So they've banned them in Seattle. It's just...
Well, they want to have a chance to put a permit process in place, study them a little bit more, and then I think Durkin was talking about some reports about a spike in injuries in cities that have these...
Yeah.
So
we're building heroin injection death sites, but we're banning scooters in Seattle. That makes a ton of sense. It's a wondrous city in which we live. Speaking of which, next up in the Fastest 15, your tax dollars at work, Sound Transit has just approved. They've got an abandoned trolley stop that they have to demolish, and they've just approved spending $56,000, not to demolish it, but to survey and engineer the demolition. This is the trolley stop that they used to have for the streetcar down on the waterfront. And they say that they have to spend $56,000 just to plan the demolition. And then the demolition itself will cost lots more than that. And I'm telling you again, two buddies and I, if I got my friend Don McFerrin, who's the handiest guy I know, Don and I could go down there and take this thing down for a couple thousand? A couple thousand bucks. That's it. And why can't we have pay the people who are living down there on the waterfront?
And wasn't there some, and I was trying to understand what the reasoning was behind this study to study the demolition.
Because that's what Sound Transit does.
And it was something to the effect of it's in the international district and that's a historic district.
Oh, for I still love of all that's good and holy.
I know. I didn't quite get it.
I could take that thing down in 5 minutes and it wouldn't cost a penny.
It might take you a little bit longer. It's one of those big ones.
Okay, it'll be an afternoon. It'll be an afternoon. $56,000 to plan and spend. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15, let's see, I got to get to this, the best story here. You hear about this grandma who was robbed by a...
No, but I love the headline.
Yeah, so this grandma down in Florida, a naked intruder came into her house. She opened her blinds on Friday morning expecting to see her cat on the back porch. But instead, she saw a naked man, 28-year-old Axel Rivera. He was wearing a two-piece jail outfit and a pair of flip-flops when he faced a judge later that afternoon. But that morning, he was buck naked, 2 a.m., at this grandma's house. And her name is Penelope Peterson. Nobody's named Penelope anymore.
And it's Peterson.
Okay. Nobody's named Penelope.
I know.
She was just looking for her cat.
I always look first. I open the blinds and say, oh, hell, that's not my cat.
Hell no, that's not my cat. It's a naked guy. And I wish we had the visuals here, but for the TV crew that was there, she replicated her scary face that she made for the naked man.
Damn it, no teeth.
She popped out her dentures. So she didn't have her teeth in, and she says that she was never scared.
He's just a dumbass.
She put both hands up next to her face in a claw-like motion and said, Grandma, no teeth.
So anyway, she fought the dude off.
I bet you there'll be Halloween costumes of her.
Grandma, like, no grandma denture. No denture, Grandma. That there is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Stories, Fastest 15.
If you give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Ursula's going to check the news, and then we're going to talk with a woman who was sexually attacked in Seattle Friday morning. She wants to get the word out, and she will share her story next. It's a story that we have told far too often, the story of how dangerous our streets have become in this city. Last year, you may recall my conversation with Kelly, a young woman who was training for a marathon, and she was brutally attacked in an attempted rape at Golden Gardens, and she just came on with us a few weeks ago. Her attacker just died in jail. They caught the guy. There's another one that's on the loose right now, and his intended victim was Maria Ball, who joins us here on Cairo Radio. Maria, I appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
I relate to this on so many levels. I have three daughters in their 20s. One of my daughters lives and is a daily runner near Green Lake, and I know that's where this happened to you on Friday morning. So walk me through this. What time of day was this?
So this was about 6:30 in the morning on Friday.
Okay.
Thursday night, I sat down with my husband because I had to run 16 miles. I'm training for the New York Marathon. And we live in Ballard. We live in North Ballard. So I was originally going to run from our house to Lake Union and run through Fremont. But I decided against that because especially running through that lower, large Fremont area at 6 in the morning does not – I did not want to get attacked, honestly. That's why I didn't run there.
Yep.
So I decided I'll do Green Lake. So I went and I parked my car at the boathouse like I do every Saturday morning with the Green Lake running group. And this time I was by myself, but I had my headlamp and my safety vest, and I took off on my run.
And how far into the run were you when it turned into a nightmare?
So I was about 4 miles into my run, which is kind of terrifying because Kelly, who was attacked at Golden Gardens, was also 4 miles into her long run. for her training for her marathon.
Yeah.
So I had run around Green Lake on the outer loop. I had my headlamp, my safety vest. I was wearing reflective gear, didn't have any headphones in. I have been running for 13 years, and so I know runner safety. And I went for a run around Green Lake, the outer loop. I got to Ravenna Boulevard, and I said, oh, well, I'll add some more mileage on and go down Ravenna because I've run down there with the Green Lake running group occasionally.
Okay.
So I ran down by myself. I went under the I-5 bridge, and as I crossed under that, I saw a man in a hooded sweatshirt and blue jeans coming from that green tent that's on the south side of Ravenna Boulevard. He didn't come out of the tent. I just saw him and seemed a little bit off. So I ran, continued running, picked up my pace a little bit, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Ran to Ravenna right before the hill. I think that's right at Cohen Park or Ravenna Park. And I turned around to go back towards Green Lake. And as I was crossing 62nd Avenue and I was going towards the I-5 bridge, the path got a little bit narrow. It was a little bit dark because there's a tree overgrowing that area, but it was still in front of people's houses right there on Ravenna. And next thing you know, a man came behind me and grabbed both of my breasts and then also my crotch. And when that happened, all I knew was it was not okay and I needed help and I needed to get help as fast as I could. Hmm.
Let me understand this. Did he run up behind you? Was he tracking you by running up behind you?
I do not think he was following me, because that's a good question, actually. I don't always check my back when I'm running.
Sure.
If I feel like I'm being watched, I'll check my back. But I think that he was up on 62nd Avenue Northeast, and it was just waiting for me to come back, which is disturbing.
Yeah.
And I didn't hear his footsteps. So it was a silent attack, and it was behind me. So when he came and grabbed my chest first, I immediately screamed and I threw my elbows back. And so he grabbed my crotch, like came between my legs and grabbed my crotch. And I think my screaming and also elbows back scared him off. So I turned around to see who he was and he took off running in a full on sprint.
Mm. Since this is something that, you know, too many people experience, but a lot of people have not gone through, what kicks in? I mean, you're just in the middle of, you know, the healthiest thing you can be doing on a Friday morning, and all of a sudden this, you know, nightmare of hell comes raining down out of nowhere. What kicks in instinctually in you as this happens in an instant?
When this was happening, all I could think was, oh my God, does he have a weapon? Does he have a knife? Does he have a gun? Is this it? Am I going to die? And I seriously, all I could think about was Kelly and her story and how she fought back. And I screamed even louder because I was not going to let that guy take me down. And I'm running the New York Marathon in a month. Like, I've been training for months. There's no way that guy was going to ruin my day. And honestly, if I did not scream and throw my arms back, like I did, I had taken a self-defense class last year, actually,
okay,
because I have a friend that was also attacked. And when I took the class, I thought, I'm just doing this to be a good friend. I'm never going to need these skills. You know, it's good to have in your back pocket, but you're not going to need them.
Right.
And one thing that came to mind was in that class, when you don't remember any of the things to do with your body, your voice is your most powerful weapon. So during the attack, screaming to get help, after the attack, speaking out like I am, this is preventing other people from possibly being attacked. And something that I've learned today, actually, I was called by the detective assigned to my case, and there was a woman that was also attacked in that same area by the same man a week prior.
Oh my goodness.
And I hope that she's doing okay. Maybe she's listening now, but I just encourage people that if this ever happens to them to speak up, because if I had known that this had happened a week before, I would not have run here.
Yeah.
And I would have chosen a different route, or I would have run during the day with friends. This is just, it could have been way worse. And the cops did say the guy is still out there, they're looking for him. And if he attacks again, it will be more violent and it will most likely be rape. So everyone running in that area really needs to be high alert.
Did you get a good look at him?
I didn't see his face, which I'm kind of thankful for, because I'm not going to be haunted by a face, more so a figure. I saw him run off, but he was in a black sweatshirt, dirty blue jeans. He did have a dirty smell to him, so I assume he's homeless.
Right.
I do know that there is quite the encampment underneath the I-5 bridge there. And it's just crazy that it happened in Green Lake, because my husband and I have lived in Ballard for almost 5 years now. And when I lived at 15th and Market in Ballard, I felt more unsafe walking a block to that Safeway than I ever felt walking around Green Lake.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's worse, because I was attacked in Green Lake.
I know. How big a guy was he?
He was about 5'7", 5'8". He was a stocky build. And I can tell you now, he would not be running a marathon anytime soon.
Right.
He didn't take off in like the fastest sprint, but I was frozen and I was not about to go after him because I didn't want him to beat me or something else.
Yeah, of course. And how big a person are you? Because marathon runners tend to be pretty lean.
Yeah, so I'm 5'11" and I weigh about 170. So I'm, you know, I'm big bone German, but I'm a fit runner. Seriously, the guy attacking me, he didn't know who he was messing with. He probably did not think that whoever he attacked would cry for help like I did.
Yeah.
I woke up, pretty much everyone that lives within tenths of a mile of where that attack happened, or within like a block or so, they heard my scream. There was a woman across the street, across Ravenna Boulevard, across that grassy tree area. She heard my scream. I woke up her entire house. When the attack happened, I am so thankful for the people that ran out of their houses. There were five people. It was three women and two men. One guy was out watering his lawn and heard my first screams, and he came out from his yard. He said, "What happened? What happened?" And I said, "That man attacked me. Go get him." And the guy had taken off at that point. But for me, it seemed like the world stopped, and I was the only one in that moment that like things were happening. And I'm like, why is no one doing anything? But they were. They called the cops for me. And the police, actually, I was very surprised at how patient and understanding the police were. My detective has been very respectful through this process. I think, especially with the new police chief I've met, Chief Carmen Best, and she's a very nice woman. I'm just really interested to see what the city's going to do as a whole. So this goes to the city of Seattle and the council members in that area, because I know Mike O'Brien is the councilman for where we live in Ballard.
Yeah.
And he had a city hall, I think, or a town hall last, I think it was this past spring or maybe early summer. He had it in Ballard at a church on 65th. And I went and I said, what is it going to take? How many more people are going to be attacked? How many more people are going to be killed before you do something to handle the homelessness in the city? And that same girl, me, Maria Ball, less than 6 months later, was attacked in Green Lake.
Well, look, it's there are two important elements of you speaking out, Maria. Number one is, just as Kelly's experience helped you, you fight with every inch of your life to claw and scream and kick and all of that. And every young woman needs to hear that. And then number two, we've got to change things politically in this city. What Mike O'Brien has done to enable this problem, to take the side of the, you know, the drug addicts who have taken over the street versus the good, honest, taxpaying citizens, things must change politically in this city. And you speaking out, delivers an important message on both of those counts.
Yes, and I totally agree, and it's so interesting to me because I ran all through college. I went to the University of Maryland. I would run from College Park, Maryland, through Northeast D.C. to the Lincoln Memorial. That's like a 13-mile run. I was never once attacked. Yeah, I may have been catcalled, but I was never grabbed or chased after. I've run in Baltimore. I'm from Baltimore, actually, just west, like 20 minutes west in Ellicott City.
Yep.
And I've run through Baltimore. They have one murder every 13 hours in that city.
Yeah.
And I was never attacked running through Baltimore, but it happens in Seattle, one of the wealthiest areas in the country, the most intelligent workforce in the country,
yep.
or one of the most intelligent workforces. And it's just so troubling to me that this is happening, because I too agree there needs to be a change in what's happening politically with the city. You're attracting all this talent, but I know many people that are moving out of the city because they don't feel safe anymore.
Oh, I know.
You know, you
I
can
know.
Make all this money, but you're going to get jumped walking to your car or going on a run.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. Well, I do appreciate you speaking out. And the other message is, don't mess with a terrapin, right?
No. Oh, no. I mean, we may be small, but we are mighty. You know, the turtles, slow and steady wins the race. I wasn't running that slow, but geez, like...
Yeah.
This guy, he did not know who he was messing with.
There you go. All right. Well, well done. Hopefully they'll catch this guy. And I hope you find some peace, because I know that this can be lastingly traumatic. But I appreciate you coming on with me today, Maria.
Thank you.
All right. Maria Ball, she's attacked by Green Lake. The word is out. And, yeah, you got to be wary if you're running that area. You want to comment on this? I'd love to hear from you. It's the Online Trading Academy text line, 98973. That's 98973 for your comments. And we have lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Stock market went up almost 200 points today. New NAFTA replacement deal. Trump said he was going to get rid of these trade deals that were so horrible for America. He said part of the negotiations was they talked more about building that wall. They got to get that wall built. Hear about this story down in Fresno. 40-year-old Arthur Gomez Jr., a beloved volunteer football coach in the community, a husband, a father of six, an illegal alien who had been deported previously from this country for child sex crimes, came back into the nation, shot and killed this beloved husband, father, and community member. Build that wall. Big Lead of Two is next.